chapter 61. And we're going to read the first three verses. So Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We just thank you for who you are and for sending your son to fulfill these words on our behalf. And we realize as well in this, Lord, that you, your son is now sending us to accomplish these things in our world today. And we just pray you'd help us to understand these principles and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, we've been continuing in our theme, in our series on the idea from John 20:21, where Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And from that we recognize that Jesus, he was sent by the Father to accomplish certain things, and his mission is now our mission. That there's things that we see that God now wants us to do in following in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's brought us to this passage here in Isaiah chapter 61. We realize, of course, that this was fulfilled in its entirety by the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on this earth. He even testified to that as he began his ministry. But we want to realize that there's a lot in here that applies to us. That this is what the Lord wants, what is here true of Jesus, he wants it to be true of us. That we realize that we have the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, that we've been anointed by God for his service. That really that indwelling of the Spirit is his blessing and his enabling of us to do his will. We realize that he sends us to preach good tidings unto the meek, that he wants us to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ with those that are ready and willing to hear it. And as well, we've seen, and we began with this thought a couple weeks ago, of how it says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." That we understand that God is sending us to brokenhearted people, to minister to them. That he's sending us to bind up is the idea of to bandage, so that healing can occur, and so that we're to bind up the brokenhearted. And so it's something that we want to understand. God's plan for his church is that they would be seen in the community as essentially hospitals for the broken, that they can come to and find healing. And it really to have that ability as a church and that testimony is what we desire, and as well as believers, it should be something where we are seeking out and trying to help people, ministering to those that are struggling under just a great emotional pain that they've experienced. And as we want to have that testimony, that they know that we're people of compassion, people that are willing to help and are able to help them as well. But as we think of that, okay, God is sending us to the brokenhearted to bind them up. The question is, okay, how can we actually do that? How can we help the brokenhearted? We realize, of course, that there's so many people around us that are brokenhearted for one reason or another. And It would be nice if it was something simple, kind of like with a vehicle. If you have a broken part, you just kind of call up the parts and say, I need to order this part, and they can send it in, and you can just give it to a person here. They just will give you a new heart, and you're good to go. And it doesn't work that way. We just can replace a person's broken heart in that way, that each person is different. The circumstances that led to the breaking of their heart is different. Some it might be through a tragedy, some through some kind of trauma they've gone through, some it might be having gone through a betrayal or a rejection or abandonment from someone that they cared about. And it just, the thing is, how do we help these people? We know that's what God wants us to do, but how do we do that? We think of Jesus at different times in the Gospels where he ministered to the brokenhearted. We think of there were those that were brokenhearted over the loss of a loved one, and he said to them, weep not. And then what did he do? He would raise the dead back to life again. And it's like, we would love to be able to do that. We'd love almost to have a time machine and just kind of go back and prevent what happened so that that person didn't have to go through that trauma. But we know we can't do that. We can't perform the miraculous. And so what do we do? What do we say? We know that people that are brokenhearted don't need empty platitudes. They don't just need someone to say, oh, it'll be better in time. We know that they need help. They need the right words to say. And so what do we do? How do we make things better for them? How do we heal them up? A lot of times I think we're kind of worried that our efforts to try to make things better for them is actually going to make things worse. And so as we look at this, that God is calling us to bind up the brokenhearted, we would kind of look at it and say, well, God's telling us to do something that we're just lacking in the skills, lacking in the wisdom, lacking even the resources to meet that task. It seems overwhelming. It seems impossible to try to bring healing to a world that is suffering from brokenness over hurt and sorrow and sin. And so we want to understand, though, that God doesn't send us to do something without equipping us to do it. And we want to understand that there is a process that he has us as his children undertake so that we can effectively perform this very much needed but very difficult task. And so I want to share that with you this morning, and as I do so to start with, it's going to seem a little bit odd, but as we go through it, I hope that it'll become very clear to you. So if you turn with me first of all to Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. In this chapter, we find the story of Gideon, one of the judges, and where God raised up this man to be a leader to give his people deliverance from the Midianites. And if you're all familiar with the story, we find that that Gideon is essentially given what seems to be an impossible task. That we have this great host of the Midianites that are innumerable, and yet he has a band of just a few men, and he kind of thought, okay, well, I've got a few different people that can help me. But he actually found out that, it's Judges chapter 7. Sorry about that. I had written Judges 8. Yeah, we want to be in Judges chapter 7. But we find that God gave him, we had these people gathered to help him, and the Lord said, well, actually, there's too many of them. And so he says, send some of them home. And then he looked at, okay, you still have too many of them. And so then he found another way to kind of divide them and send more of them home. So then he's like, okay, he's left with 300 men to try to defeat this vast army of the Midianites. And it just seems impossible to expect any kind of victory. But we see that God was working in Gideon, working to build his faith, and he actually was able to infiltrate the Midianite camp. and kind of hear some of what was going on that gave him courage. And so he comes back with a battle plan. So Judges chapter 7 and verse 16, we see that he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said to them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so ye shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also in every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so you just kind of imagine for these 300 men that they're like, okay, Gideon comes to me, I have a plan. And we're like, wow, it better be a really, really good plan, because we're in really bad shape, right? And so he said, okay, I've got what you need. And so they're thinking, okay, well, maybe he's going to give us spears, really long spears or something, or maybe he's going to give us like bows and arrows, and we'll just kind of shoot at him from a distance or something, and then run away and shoot at him some more, kind of guerrilla warfare or something like that. And he's like, nope, here's what you need. And so he gives him a trumpet, and he gives him basically a clay pot, and then a torch. And that's it. And he said, okay, they're going to go and defeat the Midianites with this. And you just can imagine the 300 men is like, this does not make any sense at all. But we see what happened. It says, so Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, came on the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And of course, as we read on, we see that the Lord did give them a great victory. They ended up chasing the Midianites and defeating them all. But we see how it happened, that they came in the dark with the trumpets, and they had the lamps, the torches, but they were holding them inside these earthen pitchers, so you couldn't see the light. And so then when it was time, they basically smashed the pitchers. They were broken, and then they shined the light and said, the sword of the Lord, and was Gideon. And the Lord used that to cause the Midianites to fly into a panic, and they were able to have a great victory. And so I think many of you maybe have heard that story again, and it is an interesting story, kind of a strange story at the same time. But then when we look at that, you would ask, well, what does that possibly have to do with us binding up the brokenhearted? And so to give an understanding of that, I want you to turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 5 to 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 to 7. And it says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so in this passage, we see three key truths that really help us to understand how we're to bind up the brokenhearted. And as well, we see how it helps us to understand the process through which God enables and equips us to be able to bind up the brokenhearted. So first, we see that in trying to help people, we're not preaching ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. That we look at it, what do I have to offer these people? We say, I don't have anything to offer myself. I don't have these great words of wisdom. I don't have this healing touch myself to do this. That we want to tell them about Jesus. That he is the one that is the great physician. As we've read in Psalm 147 verse 3, it says that he is the one that heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, right? And so that's what we're seeking to do. We're not relying upon our words or our wisdom or our skills. That essentially you want to think of it in this way, that we're seeking to bind up the brokenhearted, that we're performing first aid. that we're applying the bandage. We're trying to stop the bleeding, stabilize a patient, and then drive them to the hospital so that they can get the full care that they need. And so that's really what our focus is, as we're trying to help people. It's not, oh, come to me, I'm this expert. It's no, let me bring you to Jesus. He can help you. And that's what we want to do. We want them to see that. And it's the idea that we touch people's lives with our hearts and our hands, but the whole idea of it is that we know that they need the touch of Jesus' heart and hands for true healing to occur. And so we're trying to get them to Jesus. And that's the focus, that we're getting them stabilized so we can get them to the great physician so he can do his work that only he can do. But secondly, we see in verse 6, it talks about how God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so secondly, we understand that God has placed his light in our hearts to shine out in this dark world. And we live in a world that is very dark. There's so much evil, there's so much sorrow and pain and despair, where people end up hurting each other, and that kind of cycle of pain just kind of goes and continues from one person to another. A lot of times people very quickly lose hope because they just seem like there's just a darkness that's closing in on them that's only going to get worse, not better. But we understand that there is a light to this dark world, and it's God himself, and he wants to show us that, use us to show the world his light, that God and his word are the light, that they bring goodness, they bring comfort, they bring healing and hope into this world. That God is his light and his word is light, and he puts both within us. We recognize that when we place our faith in Christ as our Savior, that we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. That God himself, who is light, comes and resides within us. And as we've already seen in the passage in Isaiah 61, that the Holy Spirit is our anointing for his service. That the Holy Spirit being within us demonstrates God's blessing and favor and empowering upon us. And so it's the idea, knowing that he is within us, that's really what we rely upon in order to help anyone. It's not us thinking, what am I going to say? It's in that moment that we say, Lord, I need you to speak to this person words of comfort. Yes, you can use my lips, but it needs to be your words, because I don't have what this person needs. And as well, even just having the Holy Spirit within us, that he's the one really that, as we're learning to walk with him, he's helping us to see the people that are brokenhearted. That a lot of times, when we're just kind of doing our own thing, we go through busy and someone may be hurting and we don't even recognize it. That it might be the cashier at Walmart. It might be someone that we just go by on the street, or someone that we interact with every day. That the Spirit a lot of times is saying to us, okay, this person needs to know that someone cares about them. And he guides us in that. And so we want to be alert of that. That he's a light to us, and he's a light that wants to shine out of us. But as well, we realize God's word is light. And we see in different passages of Scripture where it talks about that God wants his word to dwell in our hearts. And as God's word dwells in our hearts by faith, then it's like God has placed it there so that it's ready to be used when there's people that need to hear it. And that's the thing that we see so much in the Bible, where it talks about that God wants us to meditate upon his word. He wants to have his word abide in us. And it's really, we want to understand that day by day, he wants to a lot of times give us words to speak to those that are struggling. We find this in a passage in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 5. And this is another one of those passages like Isaiah 61 where we read it and we understand right away that it's speaking of Jesus prophetically. But at the same time we realize because we're to become like Jesus that there's application that can be made to us as well. So Isaiah 50 verse 4, it says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." And so it's that thought that day by day we want to understand that he wants to give us that word in season to speak to those that are weary, to those that are hurting. And we want to understand that the Lord knows far better than we do the brokenhearted people that are going to cross our paths each day. And so each morning we want to understand he's giving us words of comfort to share with them. And so in our daily Bible reading, like sometimes we unfortunately think, oh yeah, I need to read my Bible. That's what I should do. And so I read through it, say 3 or 4 chapters a day, and say, okay, I did that good deed for the day. I put it away. But if we spend some time and say, okay, Lord, I'm sure there's some brokenhearted people that are going to come across my path. I need something to say to them. Can you give me something from your word to share with them? And if we have that awareness so often, that's what the Lord's going to do. Just, this is a verse I want you to meditate upon. It's going to come up later in the day. You need to have it ready. And so then as he's sending us out to bind up the brokenhearted, as we're attentive to his words that he shares with us, then we find someone, then it's like, yes, God gave me this word, the light of his word that can shine in this dark world to this person that's struggling. And we can give that word in due season to that person. It can make such a difference in their life. But finally, we want to see the last thought given in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Because it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so we want to understand what this is talking about, this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? What is the earthen vessel? The treasure we want to understand is the light that God has given. And the empty vessel, the earthen vessel, is us. And that's what we want to understand, who we are, that we're these basically clay pitchers that are empty, that we really have nothing to offer, nothing, what can we do to help anyone? But we understand God has put his light inside us as empty vessels. And he wants us to accomplish this seemingly impossible task, just like Gideon and his 300 men, to bind up the brokenhearted. And we understand to do that, that just as in with Gideon and his 300 men, the pitcher has to be broken for the light to shine through. And so that's what we want to understand, is for us to be able to bind up the brokenhearted, there comes a time in our lives where each of us has to have our hearts broken as well. And then as we experience God's healing personally, that's when we are truly enabled and equipped to bind up others that are brokenhearted also. A few years ago, I made a very terrible error in judgment that resulted in me cutting off the tip of my left index finger. And you would think that such an experience would be entirely negative, but surprisingly, God has brought good out of that experience. And one of the most unexpected developments that I found was that because of this, I am now welcomed into a very unusual fraternity, the fraternity of the wounded. Over and over again, somebody will notice that I'm missing the end of my finger, and they'll ask me, well, how did that happen? And of course, my initial tendency is, I'm kind of embarrassed about it. Why did they have to point that out? But then what happens is the person asking, whether it's a farmer or a carpenter or whatever, they'll show me their hand and what digits they're missing. And you enter in the conversation kind of on the defensive, thinking, well, why did you have to point that out? But then you actually, I leave the conversation actually having connected with someone on a much deeper level than I ever expected. And want to understand that for those that are brokenhearted, the emotional pain that they presently feel is overwhelming to them. And in that moment, they have two assumptions that they make. The first assumption is they think no one truly understands the wound that I experienced, the pain that I'm going through, that I am all alone in this heartache that I have. But secondly, they also assume my wound is too deep, my pain is too great for me to ever be able to experience healing from this. They feel all alone in the world. They feel that they're in a place of no hope. And we want to understand it is in these moments that Jesus sends us who have been broken ourselves to minister unto these people. And we don't carry with us a list of empty platitudes to share with them to try to cheer them up or take their mind off the pain, because having gone through it ourselves, we know that isn't what they need and it's not going to work. And so how do we bind up the brokenhearted? We share with them what has happened to us. Essentially what we do is we show them our scars and we let our scars do the talking for us. Because as one who is brokenhearted sees our scars, those two assumptions they made are shown to be false. First, they see that they're not alone, that others have experienced the pain that they now endure. Secondly, they see that even the deepest of wounds can heal. And so they ask us, how did that happen? How can you have recovered from what happened in your life? And that's when we have the blessed opportunity to tell them about Jesus, the great physician. And so I don't know where you are today, but perhaps there has been a time in your life where you have been brokenhearted. Something happened that just wounded you emotionally. And having gone through that, you may have even been wondering, may even still be wondering, well, why did God allow this to happen to me? And I want you to understand that God brought you through that because He was preparing you to minister to others. When you have been brokenhearted, you have a greater awareness of others who are brokenhearted. You realize that there's many more like me that have experienced deep pain. And because of your past experiences, you are equipped to connect with those people on a much deeper level. And so as your broken heart has been bound up by the masterful hands of the great physician, you can give people hope that healing and recovery is possible. And so may the Lord help us to bring good out of the bad, to look at these traumatic and difficult experiences we went through, not as overwhelming and not as defining to us, but something that God wants to use to do great things with. That we realize that the devil wants to use the heartbreaking experience that we had to overwhelm us, destroy us, to break our faith, to basically take us out of God's service. But instead we want to see that God wants to use it to open a door of even greater service. And He wants us to experience His hand of healing so that we can help others discover God's healing too. That we have compassion, that we see someone and our heart goes out to them, that we know I've gone through something like what they did, and God wants to use that I experienced to help this person. And so let our eyes and our hearts be open to all those around us that are brokenhearted, because it's something we want to realize. It isn't like there's just a few of them kicking around, that we're surrounded by people that are brokenhearted. And let us understand that we are those empty pitchers. We have nothing that we have within, like that we have personally that we can really give to help anyone. But God has put His light within us. And as pitchers, that there's times where we've been broken, and it is through that brokenness that the light of God's love shines out through us. And so may the Lord help us to be used of Him to bind up the brokenhearted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. We just thank You for Your healing hand upon us. Lord, we just thank You that our pain has a purpose, and you can bring good things out of it, Lord. We just pray you would help us, Lord, to see what you have done and see that it's been a good thing, and just pray that you would, as we have been broken, that your light would shine out from us to others, that they would see your love and compassion and they might experience your healing. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.